And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Good morning. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. We are getting ready for holidays and easing. Always got to do easing. There is, you know, 1 week out of the month. I mean, we work on it continuously, but, you know, when it gets down to, you know, it's Friday that we have to have it published by midnight on Friday. That means that the previous weekend, that is the deadline, which nobody ever meets, and they get it by Wednesday. But enough. I mean, we get going on it, and Donna sits in there in her cave and just, you know, pounds it out. And this month's cover I'm working on quite a bit with Athena, and it's coming along well. Which reminds me, Scott Beezer's wife did die Sunday night at about 11:30. And Scott Beezer, graphic artist, has done most of the covers for Freedom's Phoenix, but he kind of had to take some time off for his wife. And they thought she was getting better. And then all of a sudden, you know, the cancer just said, nope, I'm going to whip your butt, and did. And it's just been really rough on him. I talked to him Saturday, and he knew this was coming, that they had put her under sedation and then brought her out to, you know, see how she was, say goodbye and so on, and she was gone already. You know, mine wasn't there, so she passed Sunday night. So he's going to take a little bit of time off. We're in a redesign for the front page of Freedom's Phoenix just so we could focus on and have an area for his daily comic strip. You know, his daily I don't know what he'd call it, you know, graphic novel online, you know, with daily editions, you know, quantum vibe, what? Webcomic. Okay, webcomic. So he's taking some deserved time. He's just, you know, got to get his life, you know, restarted. And that's, I can't even imagine losing love of your life for, you know, and at a relatively young age. I mean, this is you still have children that aren't fully grown yet. So I'm just we want to, you know, keep him in mind, and but, you know, I already know some people and friends are sending him some support and so on. I encourage you to do it too. And if you need his address or anything like that, you can just look up Scott Beezer, you know, Big Head Press. You know, Quantum Vibe ads are on Freedom's Phoenix. You can contact me, and I get your address and stuff. But it's, you know, so every time I think of, you know, working on the cover for the magazine and so on, I just can't get that out of my mind. But we're working on it. Athena is taking over from him for a while, and he helps. And, you know, if she gets into a bind or can't quite get something right, or I'm not satisfied with something, you know, he'd always be backstop and kind of fix it up a little bit or do something. And you know, I'll contract with him for that, make sure we get good covers. And but Athena's doing a great job, you know, and this month it's going to be all her, which a lot of them are. And it's depicts the East Coast after Hurricane Sandy, and so that means an East Coast, it means it's a sunrise. Okay, you know, we always have the Freedom's Phoenix bird, you know, as the sun set, you know, the sun's on the horizon. You know, well, if it's East Coast, sunrise. Hurricane Sandy on the beaches, and you have, it's a depiction of craft that exist, aircraft that exist, ground effect craft that exist, flare craft, hovercraft, all kinds of different, you know, while all the boats are piled up on the beaches and so on, well, these are able to bring food, medicine, power, you know, self-defense. And so we have depicted that scene to where our heroine, our girl, is, you know, because the theme for this month is, what are you going to do in 2013, you know, to bring around someone to liberty? You know, one individual, pick somebody important to you, a child, a grandson, you know, a neighbor, an in-law, a friend, a sibling, a parent, a grandparent, you know, I mean, there's somebody important to you that needs to just know the truth to help them survive. So this is, are you prepping them? And, you know, I mean, you can only do so much with your kids, you know, and they just, I get it, and don't bring it up anymore, I won't talk about it, you know, so you do what you can. No, not politics, you know, so it's, I don't press it. I mean, they got it when they were young. I mean, we did, I tell you, one of the biggest things is the media. We would do events, we'd be activists and so on, we'd go to something, and we go, okay, now, we're going to go home and watch the coverage. You were there. You saw what happened. You experienced it. You did what you did. You saw what the people, everybody. Now let's go see what the news says about it. Oh, not even in the same ballpark. You know, they were just, you know, wow, that is not what I had. I go, yep. You know, it's like, you know, with Arnold Schwarzenegger's The Running Man. You know, you have all this stuff that happened and what they said happened. You know, that's what that science fiction movie was kind of about. And so they got it. They understood that it's really what, it's just spin on what actually happened is what you get in the media. Alternate media. That's why they call it alternative media. I'm not really sure, because they don't want to give you the impression that an individual can be a journalist, okay? And we made that point, too. When we, you know, this is a good point. Now, our second, let me tell you who our guests are today. In the second hour, you know, for a half hour, we're going to have Mikey Weinstein. Now, Mikey is head of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and he was an Air Force Academy graduate, and are his children, and I think his daughter-in-law or son-in-law, so he has a lot of family members that are involved, and he just saw what was coming and was very put out by it. Years ago, God, this must have been in 05. And so around 04, 05, it became obvious that they were taking these young kids and turning them into, might as well just be a drone. You know, they needed the Air Force to go in and just whip ass something, and it wasn't quite working out the way they wanted, and they needed to beat them into whatever robot automaton that they needed to go project their will on, little puffs of smoke on the ground, weddings and children and whatever, and bomb. And he could see it coming. And it was in the name of Christ, you know, we are compelled to go kill people. And he was just this religious war thing. And he just think, no, this is not what. So he really went after him. And we wanted to get an update real quick on, you know, what's been going on, because here we have the second Obama administration, and, you know, is his efforts a war on Christmas, as Fox News would say? So, yeah, here's our annual war on Christmas. But I'm interested in, you know, what progress he thinks he's made. He has made a lot of news. He has brought a lot of attention to it, but, you know, now that we're in a drone war, now what? You know, where's the buffer insulation between, you know, bombs and people? So we'll be dealing with that. When we come back, you know, the rest of this hour, we'll give you an update on what's going on here. The magazine, E-Zine, the articles, you know, some things that's happened over the weekend, you know, my children and, you know, what we're preparing for and next year. You know, what are you going to do? It's not because you go by month. We're going to go by year.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Hello. Okay, let's go ahead and get into some of the stuff I want to do and clear up some business. All right. Now, this weekend, what happened was lots of stuff. All right, I'll go over this. We'll start with the cover. The cover is I wanted to make sure that we had depicted that, there's a lot of things that we had to do yet in 2013. I remember a quote from Churchill. It went like this. World War II. There's starting to be a turnaround in the war against Nazi Germany. I think the U.S. starts to come in. It's good. There's a little light on the horizon. They might not all perish. And he said, this is it. Perhaps isn't the beginning of the end, but it is the end of the beginning. And I think we are at the end of the beginning. But it's not the beginning of the end. You know, we got plenty to go here. You know, this is, when I keep saying, what's happening and what's coming, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And that's kind of what I mean. You know, it's not the end of the beginning. It's the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning. I mean, and it's all of a sudden you're just going to have... You wake up on a Monday morning and, things are, whoa, what just happened? And a lot of people are going to be totally blindsided. So I'm looking for an opportunity for us to take an evaluation instead of this large sweeping swath of humanity that we're trying to declare our sovereignty kind of to as an individual and also advocate it for everybody else to be able to do it too, that we now start focusing more on our loved ones, our closer, our neighborhood. And I just got a copy of Badnarik's new book. It is Secret to Sovereignty. And I did the foreword on this. And the reason that I was impressed with the book is it's just a story of a man, a good guy like Michael Badnarik, that has gone through a lot of the stages that we've gone through now, he did 20 years ago. I mean, once you come to the rationale that, and Donna's going to try and schedule him for the show as soon as we can. Once you come to the conclusion that, hey, man, I'm my own sovereign. I lay claim to my life because I can. All right. It's mine. It's not. If it's not mine, then whose is it? Well, there's all kinds of people laying claim to it. The church wants to lay claim to it. Whatever religious excuse organization du jour they have, you got to go because we say people, which has been going on forever. I've been watching the series Mankind, the History of All of Us. It's a History Channel, just kind of, caveman to astronaut kind of deal, And you can see the big giant leaps, have always been individuals that just, went outside the envelope and just go, no, I'm going to do it my way because I can and, get over it. And then, circumstances and life happens and all this other stuff. But the big advances of humanity has come from individuals. It's always the individual. I can't remember who said it. They say, a single person can't change things, right? Well, it's the only thing that ever has, that ever will. It's always the individual or small group or a husband and wife or a family or father and son or daughter and mother and whatever. It's always one, two, three people that, are the lead, the spearhead of everything, which is why I've been focusing on this workbench thing. I mean, it all ties in together. You can see from my perspective, it all is focused down on the same freaking thing. Quit being centralized, central planned, dependent on waiting for your orders. You already got, so many people got their shiny jack boots on. You just tell me, which parade to march in what direction. I want to be part of the team. That reminds me, there's a, you know, a, and I don't want to give too many specifics. There's an individual, and you know who these individuals are. These individuals, they're always, you come across them because of acquaintance with something, somebody, and they go on Freedom's Phoenix, or they read some of the stuff. Oh, yeah. We got a lot in common. Yeah, we're the same. No, we're not. Because they're the ones that go on. I mean, their homepage is Drudge or something. You know, they're Fox News junkies and whatever. And they think, yeah, freedom. We're going to go whip ass. And yeah, we're on I'm the same, you know, side with you. Yeah, you know, government's bad. And except until I need them to do what I want them to do. And all these other people are too stupid to rule themselves. So I should rule them because they need to be ruled. And they'll be adamant about it. I mean, they're just, you know, fist pounding on the table. And I know better. And I, you know what... And you get down to the fundamental life lessons of, you know, you're allowed to be stupid. You know, you got to allow people to make mistakes. You got to allow them to do, you know, they're not there to do what you want. Well, if I can't get everybody to do what I want, then they don't get what I want because I want everybody to do what I want because that's what will get me what I want. And I'm going, well, then you want the wrong thing because, man, if you need somebody else to do it for you, then, you know, that's you need to advocate for society. Everybody gets to do what they want, so you get to do what you want and associate freely associate with other people that want to do it, and you can do it on your own. You don't need to give a crap what everybody else does as long as they're not preventing you from doing what you and your friends and your family want to do. I mean, you know, seriously, does it have to be more complicated than that? So it's this is kind of the depiction of what I want to do for 2013. I mean, I want to focus on, you know, the lab thing. I want to focus on the battery thing, focus on the nanotube thing. I got an email last night. We put it up as an article today that they just came out with, you know, something I thought about. I didn't see what the problem was, why they couldn't do this. And boom, they did it. Rice University came out where, you know, they're not just growing nanotubes on some kind of catalyst. All right. The catalyst is always, you know, that's what I'm working on now. I just got a package from Amazon today. I thought it might have been the, you know, junk broken solar cells and silicon wafer and so on that I need. I can't get the slides, the quartz glass that I need, a high temperature glass. I'm like, what the heck? I go to China for freaking everything. Oh, and I got to order it by, you know, a big giant pallet full for me to get the little thing. What, seriously? So. Finally, I find, and these used to be ubiquitous, man. They used to be broken wafers everywhere. I would watch a television commercial, and they were showing in Taiwan to where these street merchants with big, giant woven baskets on the sidewalk full of broken, you know, silicon wafers. You know, yeah, we're selling them for whatever they sell them for. You know, come in and just buy them by the bushel, man. You know, no, heck no. I tell you, those levolutionaries, let me give you an example of exactly how this works, and you'll understand. We were starting to make the signs. We were using Tyvek, plywood, coroplast, anything we could put it on. Then there was some activist in Utah. It's when they went to their state convention for the GOP in Utah, and they go, you know what you could use? You could use that old vinyl that they, you know, do the billboards. Well, the back of that's blank. It's white or black. You can just go get that for, like, I don't know, nothing. Hell, they pay you to haul it off. Because they had to pay $5 to $10 in some states extra just to throw them away because they weren't biodegradable. You know, they had guaranteed out in the middle of the sun to, you know, for 7 years in the ground. Heck, they last forever. So what'd they do? They said, come take it. And then something changed. And it applies to all this other stuff, too. I want to share that with you in the next segment. You'll understand what I mean, how the economy works.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Okay, a lot we're going to try and squeeze in and rest this hour and into the third hour, because in the second hour, we have Mikey Weinstein from Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And this is, you know, if I want freedom from religion, where do I want it? In the military, is that where you want it or you don't want it? And I tell you what I don't want, is I don't want the government with a gun and an F-16 in charge of what God said. You know, he said, I must kill you to save you. You're coming right for us. Kill him. So All right. I want to finish on, there's a bunch of stuff I want to, mop up. Because Monday, we just, we've been trying to take off to get caught up on a bunch of stuff. You know, it's give you a best of thing. And what we did is we ran Friday's show again because it was a good show. I was talking about, blathering on about all the, the local groups that are doing different. It's always got me worked up. You know, I can see what their plan is for next year. And that's what Dr. Paul's talking about, this fiscal cliff thing, is that, they'll wring their hands and whatever, and we're going to spend more of your money and debt your grandchildren more. So we'll play that. It's only 4 minutes. So one of the segments in today, we'll play Dr. Paul's straight talk. And then I'm not even going to try and work to get Dr. Paul on until after he's out of Congress. I just can't, I don't, it's been five, when he started running for president, that's the last I even made an attempt to get him on. I just, nope, don't want to, you do what you do, we'll do what we do, and it's all good. Because it's tainted with, there's always this cloud of stuff. I mean, whenever we talk about it, the Republican Party would come into it, or, and I know that's not him. You know, he is way more voluntarist than a lot of people realize. And he'll say it when pressed. Adam Kokesh got him in to, what are you, voluntarist? Okay, cool. We're all good. So I feel a lot more comfortable talking to him after he's, out of that environment and doesn't, he's done. Because he did his bit. His thing was, I've had conversations with him before that, the Republican Party has done, I guess, enough for him to do what he needed to do, and he owed them kind of, there was a deal, in, at least in his head, that, he was part of that party, and he played the game as much as he could to maintain his whatever. And we're not going to be able to talk about it until he's out of it. Then we can look back and go, okay, let's evaluate. Now what, 2013? What are we going, let's get into it. Because the inauguration of Obama and the new House and Senate as it comes in, that will be something to talk about. That's when I want to talk. That'll be early January. So that's what we'll work on. Donna, go ahead and call, communicate with Jeff, and then, see if we can do it in the first week in January or whenever he's convenient. I'll go ahead and lock in that time because I just can't do it. And wish him Merry Christmas, of course. So, and we'll probably send something. Yeah, we did that one Christmas. We sent Carol and Ron a bunch of, different various shirts that we had. We had done a bunch of different designs of different things. We just had some left. We gave them, give them to grandkids and so on. We just gave them a big package of, a bunch of this stuff just to make sure they had some. I mean, a lot of these are very creative. The Patriot one we did for the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff. I knew they didn't have any, where would they get them? We were using them all here. So it's, so we want to make sure they get included in that. Now, I want to finish up on this vinyl recycle thing. You'll see how economics work and free market always reigns supreme. When we were making the Levolution signs, there was some young people in Utah that suggested that we use the vinyl from the billboards. And you could just cut those up and make big, small, do it. And you go, wow, that is a freaking awesome idea. So we went to the outdoor advertising places here, and we go, look, we would like to buy the vinyl. And they go, buy it? take it, man. They always sold it. Somebody come in, they charge them $15, $20, here, take it, and they put it into their beer money. I mean, literally, it was like Christmas party money or whatever. It was just off the books, a little extra cash that they would do some kind of something with. But they had to wait until they release them, okay? And I'm like, what's releasing mean? Well, it's when the advertiser says, yeah, we don't need it anymore, we don't want it anymore, go do it. Well, this happened no more than in Las Vegas. And I'll give you an example. They'd have big, giant billboards, and they would have some of them take, sides buildings. I mean, in L.A. one time, we had, Jon Stewart doing the Oscars. It was like 60 feet wide and 100 feet long. It must have went on some big building or something. I mean, enormous, banners. But what happened was they wait for them to release them because it'll say, this weekend only so-and-so performing at the whatchacallit. And, once that weekend's over, that sign's not ever good again. Because a lot of these things have dates or offers or times or, closeout sale of the Acura whatchacallit car in the end of the summer kind of whatever September deal, then that's not good anymore. So they go, okay, these are done. They don't want them in their yard, I guess, some marketing guy at, GM. I mean, they just hear, that's your problem, deal with it. Well, the problem is that because they last so long, they're made to last out in the sun and the ultraviolet light, that they don't deteriorate. They're a special kind of vinyl and they got all kind of protection on, blah, blah, blah. They're guaranteed a lot of 7 years out in the sun. You put them in a landfill and they don't go anywhere. And they are thick and heavy and, folded up. But, so they're sitting there and they have to pay an extra $5, $10 just to throw them away. So here's somebody comes and said, I'll haul them off for you. And they go, for free? Load up your trailer, okay, which we would, to the point of the axle was breaking. I mean, these are heavy, and we would just load that thing up, take it about 5 or 6 miles to a friend of ours in Vegas there, drop it off, get like half of it off, take the other half to Phoenix, and then later we'd go back up and retrieve the rest of them and get more, and we just kept having these big, giant piles of vinyl. Well, we do it in Phoenix here, too. It's just Vegas, man. That was the resource. We're like, damn, because they had tons of this stuff just trying to get rid of it. Well, that was an example to the rest of the planet. And we're going, look, man, you just go down. When I would go to South Carolina, Iowa, anywhere I would go, the first place I went was Clear Channel or CBS Outdoor Advertising or, blah, 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 local, who puts up the billboards? And you can find it as I'm going in my rental car or whatever. I'm just, doing the Google thing with my laptop and kind of, where. And there it is. I drive there and they go, well, yeah, we got some. And I'd have my little Malibu rent-a-car or something, and they bring out a forklift pallet full, and I'd stuff that thing, wheels or dragging, man. That stuff was heavy. Fill the trunk, the back seat, the passenger seat. Remember one time I had a PT Cruiser in Iowa. I went to Rapid City or something, and I just loaded that bad boy up. Don't take turns really fast, okay? And we would just have tons of this stuff, literally tons of this stuff. Cheap. Oftentimes, even free. Now, what happened then, though, is that, and we'd insist on giving them some money. Yeah, here's $100 for you guys to whatever for helping us. No, it's okay. They're thankful, get rid of it. And then all of a sudden it changed. Boom. After the 08 election cycle, we go into 12. By that time, and even before the end of 08, it was starting to, they were starting, and then, suits at the top found out what was happening. I mean, when you're all over the country and everybody pulling it down, the government, where are they getting all this material? And you have the highway workers up there doing it and, the officers of and the politicos and the, whatever, and they're seeing this and they're learning what's happening. All of a sudden, a phone call is made to somebody to something we need to stop and make sure and need to pass a law, an ordinance or whatever. Okay, and this is what happened. All of a sudden, it goes into recycling, okay? These were being taken and done under contract by these large corporations to have them scooped up and put into big giant sea containers that then you had to buy them in big giant lots that were in a recycle thing to be green and so on, to make handbags out of them and use them in coffee plantations, for shaking the trees or whatever the heck they do in Central Mexico, roofing for all kinds, whatever. They needed to get into some kind of a collective bin.
Before I became a customer of Liberty Coin and Precious Metals, I called one of the internet companies that sells gold. I didn't like the impersonal hard sell or the fact they were in another state. Liberty's different. I could walk in their store, look them in the eye, see, feel, and walk out with what I'd bought. No hidden fees, no hard sell, no mystery, just great prices. And Liberty's one of the biggest gold sellers in the Southwest. Their experts took the time to get to know me and my investment needs. There's so many reasons I'm now a Liberty Coin and Precious Metals customer, but the most important is I trust Liberty. Remember, they're right here in Scottsdale. So drop in or call Liberty Coin and Precious Metals, 877-888-8052. That's 877-888-8052. Or on the web at libertycpm.com. Liberty.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Okay, let's get right to it. So I can go from when we broke off here on Declare Your Independence, so I can tell you everything I want to tell you. Okay, this is what's going on. When they have any kind of, this is social and economic engineering at the lowest level, and I saw it happen. When you had a resource like this vinyl thing and so on, going, God, man, these freedom guys are out there doing, whoa, we missed something. They're beating us over the head with every single freaking overpass across the country. He's got, you know, these things for the price of freaking paint. So when we would do these, we would make these like every Friday, be like 300 at a time here in the Valley. We'd put them up. And they'd be up, you know, we'd put them on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night or something. Crews would go out all over the valley. They would be everywhere. And they go, well, they just take them down. We knew that. They'd get them down. You know, it got to a point where when we first started, they'd be up there a week, two. They didn't care, you know, until somebody made them take them down. Well, then they got the note from the man saying, you know, your job, did I tell you that your job depends on getting those things down? So the Arizona Department of Transportation, local this and that, and the cop, and blah, 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 blah. They catch you putting them up. They get all freaky and everything. At first, they didn't even care. They're like, yeah, whatever. Somebody's over there. They don't care. And then nobody ever got arrested or anything that I know of. But what happened was, is that they would be down by the next afternoon. So if you got them up on a Sunday night, you know, and a lot of times we put them up on Friday night or Saturday, and they stay there through the weekend. But what we really wanted was rush hour traffic on Monday. It wouldn't be until like by the afternoon on a Monday that they'd get them all down, because they definitely, they're up there for a morning rush hour, but man, they wanted to, so you understood which lane you wanted them, where you want to put them. You didn't want to put them where people were going to be going home on the other side. No, you wanted to get them when they were going to work. So the signs would go all over the place, every overpass, every on-ramp, it was just, you know, boom, maximum traffic. And you put those up, and by the afternoon, they would be down. And they go, well, they just take them down. I know. Well, you just wasted that money. I know. I go, you guys don't get it. It cost us a quarter. A 4x8 sign, a quarter. A quarter in paint, if that. It was all volunteer and help and cheap vine. We put them up. Of course they took them down. We don't care. Hundreds of thousands of people saw them, man. I was like, oh my gosh. So when we're talking about this kind of campaign again for 14, and we do some more local stuff here, I said, you know, what would you think? We don't know how to do this? Man, we're all over your face now, but it's going to be more difficult, and we had to find cheap material. Well, we found it. It's nylon reinforced ground covering stuff. You can get in various different colors. You know, it's called Arizona Bag Company. And they make the raw material that they can make, you know, handbags out of, whatever. It's like a vinyl stuff, the rip stop, blah, blah, blah. Now, Tyvek and stuff like that works pretty good. But, you know, it rips. Now, there's another stuff that's made of plastics, kind of like Tyvek. It's just a white construction covering they put around houses before they stucco them. And it works really well. And it's non-rip, but it has, you know, the lettering on it and so on from, you got it from Lowe's or whatever. So we can use that. Then there's the ground cover, and you put rocks on, and they got the nylon reinforced ones in various colors that we can do. So we could, you know, the answer is always yes. It's just, you know, how much and how much you're willing to be creative. So we're like, you know, we will not be denied our expression. So this is, I saw what happened. This vinyl stuff, very useful stuff. I mean, we still have them, or covering whatever. And where a lot of people would get them, we'd, you know, if they, what do you need this for? Oh, yeah, we're a Boy Scout troop that, you know, we sell these, you know, to company, you know, for people to cover their firewood. Oh, okay, well, that's cool. Oh, we use them for, you know, we go camping or something. Oh, okay, that's cool. You know, they didn't care. You know, but you do it for political things, and then this is what it start. Well, if you have the logos on the outside, we can't have you having your Budweiser covering your tarp over your car or something. And we're going, well, no, we cut them up into smaller things and this and that. So whatever, you know, we did negotiate what we get to use them. Well, you start changing policy from a corporate, centralized, top-down, environmental, Agenda 21 level of, and this is what they did. You must make an accounting of the disposal of all of this, which means that there is an ordinance or a rule or a, you know, a guy with a shiny badge and a whatever you need to, you know, put on the report of where you do and how you can write off and whatever. And all of a sudden there would be rules on these large companies that you had to give it to a recycler. And the recycler, you know, made his living based on what? Some rule. Some ordinance, some requirement, some environmental whatever, and they would all go into these sea containers, and then we had to start buying them from those guys. All right, cool. You know, there's still, but it was kind of towards the end of the thing, it didn't make that big a deal. So now I'm going into where, you know, the same kind of thing is happening, where it used to be that these broken silicon wafers and the solar panel cells that got broken, all that, they go into, they're just waste, they're just part of the waste. Well, they would sell them on, you know, eBay and Craigslist, whatever, you know, here, who wants these for whatever. They would use some of the solar cells. They tried to make some of them work, little pieces. You know, they make a solar panel for almost nothing, or they would use them for whatever. Well, I need them for slides, okay? A high-temperature glass to make slides for my tube furnace experiments on the nanotube thing. Well, so I, you know, I want these. I remember they buy bushels, buckets. I'm going, oh, wow, I know where I can get some high-temperature glass, because you get real glass slides, they just melt in the tube furnace. Found that out. So I go, okay, well, I need some high. Where? Oh, I know where. So I started looking for this stuff. It's like impossible. You have to go through the central collective kind of whatever, and which I don't have a problem with. Somebody can make a business out of recycling, man, knock yourself out. It's always by requirement. It's always by, you know, order. It's always by policy. It's always by taxes. It's always by, which comes out today. We have IRS aims to clarify investment income tax under healthcare law, blah, blah, blah. Here's 150 pages. Social and economic engineering will always come down and get its fingers into how individual human beings will react and work with each other. Always fill a niche of anything to do with anything. That's the problem. They don't want you being able to do that. They want centralized control, and there's always money to be made. Are they, them, those, and people willing to play the game? Do you have your license to even do this, to accumulate it, to stack it, to stockpile it, to do? I mean, there's and it's always, then you have to buy it by the bucket, the train car load, the what? I mean, there's where the little stuff happens down on the ground, where the little kind of innovations, and it started with, you saw it with eBay and Amazon and Craigslist and so on. Man, that was Craigslist. That was the bane of you know, classified advertising for the newspapers. What can we do to stop this? I remember it was 04, 05 when it first started going. It was started in San Francisco. We're on Air America, and they're really making a big deal out of the people just doing their own advertising. I'm going, ooh, are you liberals out there? You understand this is a free market, libertarian kind of stuff, right? Without controls and regulation. You like this? Oh, yeah, it's people to people doing without, you know, and they just kind of liberal recycling and doing. It's great. I go, yeah. Are you going to feel that way when the government says you have to, you got to, and do you have a permit? And that's it. And I see it coming because I see it. And everything that you do, every asset, you know, free speech and, you know, making use of material that normally would be, hell, they pay you to take it away. You know, to raw materials that you can use for whatever. It gets down to where it becomes a threat. You know, we got a rule for that. We got the mindset and the concept of making a rule for that. Okay? Well, it happened with the vinyl. It happens with this glass. All I need is just to make a bunch of slides and samples because I got this one. These quartz boats, they're just, imagine the size. You imagine taking a pill bottle, okay, just a little prescription pill bottle, and cutting the cylinder in half lengthwise, and it makes like a boat. Well, imagine that made of a special kind of glass called quartz glass. It has a high temperature glass that you can put in. Well, you have to put samples in there. Well, I don't want it in a boat shape. I want it like a slide, okay? So I'm going, okay, where are they? I can't find it. I'm like, seriously? They don't make just quartz slides out of this stuff? Well, yeah, they do. In China. And you got to go through the and for them to talk to you and spend the time of the translator to get you to be able to make the order, you better be ordering a whole bunch of them to be able to do it. And they're not available here in the U.S. by a distributor that doesn't. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going, seriously? This is at the lowest level when you're doing just a little bitty save the planet kind of stuff to where now they're taking nanotubes on the slide. Or well, now they're using copper. You know what I'm going to do? Right now, I'm going to go turn on my experiment because I just read this thing. The guy came up. It's copper with graphene on it. I got a little bit, you know, that I made and stuff. And you put that on there and the nanotubes grows on the graphene. It all becomes not just a seeding from a metal, little particle that it grows on, goes right onto the graphene and they're bonded together. It's not like a barrier. They share the same molecules, you know, same atoms, you know, that go up from a graphene sheet to a nanotube tower. Changing the planet. I just want everybody out of my way.
Here we go.
Studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. And make sure you go check out freedomsphoenixezine.com. And I tell you, you know, this would be a good time to see if you can get an article from Mikey, too. You know, this is one thing that I want to introduce you to Mikey Weinstein. He's head of Military Religious Freedom Foundation, Military Religious Freedom.org. And I tell you how we know Mikey. He hit the news cycle, oh man, it must have been around 04, 05, around in there. And it was, he is a graduate from the Air Force Academy and he has family members. And as time was going, you know, he has, I believe, his son and you got in-laws. And so all of a sudden, it's starting to see that it's indoctrination in a particular religion, a vengeful God that uses cadets. You need to know that you are the sword and arm and angel of the Lord to go and smite the whoever's wearing turbans, got dark skin or something. And this has been like, whoa, whoa, wait a freaking minute. And he got involved. Well, now what I want to allow Mikey to give a little bit of his history and bio into there. We got a cadet from West Point saying, hey, man, I don't want to, you know, I'm done. We're going to talk about that. But the main thing I want to do is we are coming back into a new Obama administration. And what kind of changes have you seen now that he's back in? You know, are we going to see a lessening of this thou shalt be the sword of, and we just, you know, or don't have to worry about it, we're just going to go drone everybody? Mikey Weinstein, welcome.
Thank you, Ernie. It's great to be here. I love your passion and enthusiasm. It's really great to be on the show again. I've been on a lot of times, and if you cannot get fired up listening to a radio show by this guy, then the audience, you're on the wrong planet.
No, they get fired up. Now, and we get them to do stuff. And one of the things that we want to do is certainly at the very beginning, we want to understand You know, what it is that motivated, let's do real just a, you know, 90 second, give the history of the Air Force Academy and how you got involved and why and what progress you made and what do you think is going to happen going into this next administration of Obama?
Right. I've written two books about this. You can find them on the website. The latest one is called No Snowflake in an Avalanche, from the Voltaire quote, "No snowflake in an avalanche ever feels responsible." Well, we have a lot of snowflakes in the technologically most lethal organization ever created by humankind, which is our United States military. Bottom line is, it's bad enough when you've got a tsunami of out-of-control of fundamentalist religiosity, you know, in this case, fundamentalist or what's known as dominion Christianity, running amok in, say, public schools or the police department, fire department, sanitation workers, state, local, and federal legislatures. It's much worse where you find the wall separating church and state, temporal and and physical, metaphysical and physical rather, spiritual and temporal. You know where all the nukes are, conventional laser guided weapons. Bottom line is, we're faced with a fanatical religiosity, fundamentalist Christianity, mixed in with actual weapons of mass destruction, which we have, and the other side doesn't yet. Thank God. Or thank the great, flying spaghetti monster, mixed in with a poisoned, tortured version of so-called patriotism, Ernie, further mixed in with with totally unfettered access to these weapon systems because of, you know, the vertically encrustated, nature of the military itself, further mixed in with a total dearth of any restraint, oversight, and supervision. And what we're talking about on your show this morning is a metastasizing national security threat internally to this country, every bit as much in width, breadth, magnitude at what we're facing externally by, fundamentalist Islamic.
Okay, crazy. Now what role does the presidency play in this? You got this internal, I mean, it's kind of like, the shadow military government, we're doing whatever we want, kind of, bypassing and the name of. Or, I mean, all of a sudden we had, how was it, like four generals changed around here just in the last month? At what point is there the civilian government in charge of the military, military in charge of civilian, or is there someone in charge of both? Or, I mean, you help me out here.
Well, the president, of course, is dual-hatted. Our president not only is the chief executive of our federal government, he's also the commander-in-chief of this planet's most powerful military. So, this is we always tell people this is not a Republican or Democratic issue. It's not a political spectrum left or right issue. It's a constitutional right and wrong issue. This is all on Obama's lap. I'm a Republican, but I'm one who voted for Obama. And not that this matters. I mean, the bottom line is our Constitution and our country was founded upon some very, very basic principles, one of which is freedom of faith, freedom of religion. But connected with that in the First Amendment is also no establishment. Our country is not going to establish an approved solution for what religion ought to be. And that is not, like I said, not a problem, issue, or challenge that we're talking about on your show this morning, Ernie. It's a national security threat, and this is what we're dealing with, a runaway U.S. military that is awash in fundamentalist Christianity.
Well, we'll get to your still voting thing later, but, okay, I am looking at the motivation for you starting the organization, MilitaryReligiousFreedom.org. Why? I mean, there was something
that
happened.
For anyone in your, are you a parent? Do you happen to be a parent yourself? I don't know.
Grandparent. Four grandkids.
Great, great. When I found out that my two sons and my future daughter-in-law at the Air Force Academy were being persecuted because of their religious faith, when your kids are hurt, your life is now forfeit. When they're suffering, it's over. I mean, you will do what needs to be done if you have any aspect of parenting in you whatsoever.
And you were an Air Force Academy grad, too.
Yes, both of my sons, my son-in-law, who's a Christian, my daughter-in-law, who's a Christian, my two sons are Jewish. My brother went there. My brother-in-law graduated from there. My father is an honor grad, a distinguished graduate from the Naval Academy. We have three consecutive generations of Academy graduates in my family, including myself. I was an honor graduate. This is a situation where when you see something like this and it's this wrong, when my kids were being called effing Jews and being accused of total complicity in the execution of Jesus Christ by numerous cadets in their chain of command and officers at the academy. Well, if that happens, game over, because now a new game on. And the new game on is that, the only thing the Defense Department understands, the Pentagon, or as we call it, Ernie, the Pentecostalgon, is fear of being dragged through the electronic and print media like we're doing right now, or secondly, being dragged into federal and state court. Just like Superman only has two weaknesses, magic and kryptonite, that's what the Pentecostal God understands, and that's what we do. And
well, I tell you, all that affects their budget.
Oh, of course it does. And remember, for the listeners of your show, Ernie, that love animals, you know, we know that if you love dogs and cats or whatever, on one side of the spectrum of for animal rights, you've got the Humane Society. They're very nice. They're very straight. They're very everyone. I mean, what's not to love? On the other side, you've got PETA. We are PETA. We're a civil rights fighting organization. We are militant and aggressive in support of the U.S. Constitution. We represent, as I speak to you this morning, 30,502 active duty United States Marines, sailors, soldiers, airmen, cadets and midshipmen at West Point, the Air Force Academy in Annapolis, National Guard, Reserve, Coast Guard, and veterans, 96% of whom are practicing Protestants and Roman Catholics themselves, being told by their commanders that they are not Christian enough.
Well, what's their definition? You got to, you know, enthusiastically and with heels clicking, willing to smite and kill whoever we tell you to?
Well, let me give you that's a very good question. Our largest growth area are actually evangelical Christians. You know, every fundamentalist is an evangelical, but not vice versa. They want these members of the military to proselytize and carry what they view as this weaponized gospel of Jesus Christ and to the other members of their troops and to the Afghans and Iraqis, et cetera, in a time, place, and manner that violates the Constitution. That's what's wrong.
Okay, well, somebody needed to, you know, bring light to this. Mikey Weinstein, you heard his bio, his father, him, his brother, his sons, his daughter-in-law, his son-in-law. You're starting to get it? You know, do they have the credibility and the knowledge to be able to go after him? Yeah.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press, Quantum Vibe.
Okay. Let's go ahead and make some notes of some of the things we make sure we want to do. You can't go another half hour. Or you just got this till bottom of the hour. Is all you're going to give me?
That's all I've got. The problem is that we're smashed with this other story that I've got. I mean, I've got a million media people. So, I mean, I'm giving you about twice as much time as I'm giving anybody else.
Because we love each other. Okay. So let's go ahead and go to...
we'll do another segment.
Yeah, no, we got one more segment at least, right. But let's go ahead and do the story here, I guess, and now get this what we need to. So I'll go ahead and just introduce it to you, but I mean, what do you want me to say about it?
Just follow your nose. You know what to do. You're very good at this.
All right. Well, I just want to make sure we're going to focus on the West Point guy, right?
Absolutely. Right. It's Cadet Blake Page. As far as we're concerned, he's another Rosa Parks.
Okay, now, did he contact you, him? Have you guys been in contact?
He contacted us many months ago for support, and he became our director of MRFF Affairs, our first ever at West Point. I just spoke at West Point about 7 weeks ago, and he set that up. Everything was there, and then it just got to the point where it was... there's a new article that it's out on military.com, let me send it to you very, very quickly. They have something like 12 million registered readers. So I'm sending this to producer right now, and the story is just out, and a bunch of others, NBC, New York Times, others are all over this thing right now, so you'll see
sending
it.
You stuff right now. No, he's sending you something else, too. Okay.
Yeah, okay. It should be on its way.
Okay, now, and is this the first real contact you've had at West Point? See, that's one thing that I know. Like here,
No. We've had clients there since 2004.
Yeah, like here at ASU. Yeah, but it's always, you know, it's a senior of whatever and student in charge of Students for Liberty and whatever, and he's all, you know, animated and everything, and it's his final semester of his senior year, and then he's gone. You got to get somebody else. I mean, you know. So
well, he may very well be staying on as our director of MRFF Affairs. We'll have a deputy director who's a cadet there, but this is an incredible act of bravery, because he could be hit with hundreds of thousands of dollars for his tuition back. He could be forced into the military again. Remember, he's prior enlisted. His commander saw him. Most cadets don't come in that way. They saw something in him as an enlisted guy, sent him to West Point, and he's making this sacrifice, and it is a true sacrifice.
Oh, so he wasn't like ROTC or appointment by or a congressman or something. He was, in the service.
A grunt out of high school, and they saw something in the military, sent him there, and that's why this is all. He's like a Buddhist monk setting himself on fire in Tibet to protest Chinese oppression, man. He's the real deal. He's the real fucking deal.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now, FYI, we're live web streaming and commercial, so be careful.
All right. He's the real freaking deal.
Yeah, all right. Whatever. Yeah, I don't care, but I mean, just so you know. All right. These transgressions are nearly always come in the name of the fun. Okay, we'll go ahead and get right back to him. So I'm going to, you talk fast enough, you can fill it in. So I'm going to go ahead and just turn it over to you, this guy, and I'll just do like a 60-second intro, what's going on and how you're dealing with him, and then boom, we're in it, okay?
Sure, no problem.
All right, here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
Yeah, there's something going on, and it has a root. There's stuff that, you know, we allow or don't know what to do or have. We're up against the, you know, big giant oppressive of, you know, and there are people, there are individuals, there are Rosa Parks, there are Neos, there are you name the figure. I mean, there's always someone that leads the way. You know, Mikey Weinstein's one of those guys, and as a father. Yeah, that's kind of saturated in the military, I guess, you know what, he would believe was a worthy endeavor of being part of. In fact, you know, do we want quality people of character in the military? More than anywhere, definitely, okay? Now, here we have a West Point cadet that came in from the military, a grunt. They recognize some leadership potential in this guy. Hey, man, here's a, you know, self-starting, critical-thinking individual. We want to make sure, you know, not ROTC guy, not somebody that knew his dad knew some congressman to give an appointment. No, a grunt. They take him into West Point, and then he's like, you know what? I want to contact Mikey Weinstein on what I see going on him. So this is becoming a big news story, and Mikey's been kind enough to give us two segments where everybody else don't get that much. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mikey and tell us the story, who this guy is, and he may have a future in your organization, right?
Oh, absolutely. Ernie, I can tell you and your radio audience that this is a true American hero. To the same extent, when I talk about him being another Rosa Parks, I mean it. The same way you see these monks in Tibet, they're lighting themselves on fire to protest Chinese oppression, or that young brave man several decades ago who put that flower in, you know, standing in front of that that tank gun barrel turret in Tiananmen Square. Cadet Blake Page came out of high school, enlisted in the U.S. Army, spent 2 years in the Army. So impressed his commanders, this just doesn't happen very often, they suggested he go to West Point. He went to West Point. He did very, very well there. Among other things, he started the Secular Student Alliance there. He became our first ever director of Military Religious Freedom Foundation Affairs. I just spoke there at West Point about 7 weeks ago. He set everything up. He's a tremendous leader, a wonderful young man. But he saw something that was horrible. He saw that people were being told that they lacked intelligence, morality, courage, character, and integrity, trustworthiness, honor, and honorability because of their chosen religious faith or lack thereof. And he said, this is wrong. This is wrong. He represents our currently 151 now. We picked up 15 new ones yesterday, clients at West Point. These are faculty, cadets, and staff, Ernie. Listen carefully. 79% or 119 of them are believing Protestants and Roman Catholics. And he saw what was happening. No one would pay attention. People looked the other way. They didn't. They would do nothing, say nothing. I mean, it's the same situation. I'm sure you remember, Ernie, what happened in New York in March of 1964 with Kitty Genovese, the 29-year-old woman from Queens that was brutally assaulted, raped, and murdered. While 38 New Yorkers watched it and did nothing, giving rise to the so-called bystander or Genovese syndrome. Well, Blake was not going to be a bystander, and the best way he could call attention to this was by standing up, being willing to have to take hundreds of thousands of dollars in a penalty, or maybe even 5 years more of involuntary servitude back as an enlisted person in the Army, and said, I'm leaving. I'm turning my ring in. I've got 174 days to go, but I'm leaving because I want to make a stand here. And it's, when you stand up to the U.S. military and you say that you will not accept being even gently evangelized by your military superiors, well, you know, Ernie and Ernie's audience, you turn yourself immediately into a tarantula on a wedding cake. And we all know how long those last.
Okay, now this is one thing that I remember us talking, and you mentioned this, that you thought it was in your best interest and that of the country to support Obama. How's that worked out? You know, what's the administration's support of something that he's doing?
And remember, let me make it clear. We're a 501c3 civil rights nonprofit charity. I've always said that under Republicans, man exploits man, but under Democrats, it's just the opposite. So you can see my view is that I tell people, yes, I'm still a registered Republican, but the bottom line is that you know we've seen almost a seamless transition between you know George W. Bush's administration when it comes to this horrible national security threat and the Obama administration. I've been highly critical of the president as commander-in-chief, and we certainly have hope that perhaps in this second term things will change, and that's one of the things that what Blake is doing here is creating a gigantic blaze of people saying, "My God, he's so close to finishing. How could he do this? How could he be willing to put you know crushing debt on his life and maybe having to serve back in a military that hates him for another half decade? Maybe there's something really to this. Maybe we need to take a hard look at this. You know, our foundation has 5 Nobel Peace Prize nominations, including one for 2013."
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I got this written down here. You guys have been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Not that it means anything after they gave it to Obama, but, you know, they're trying to, you know, resurrect it as meaning something.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that. What I'm going to say is that it's given out in Oslo in October of each year. So that means, just given out to the European Union, you know, like the month before last, this is early December. And only 43 organizations worldwide were nominated for this 2012. We were one of those. We had 2 nominations in 2010, 1 in 2011. But the last 2 years, we have been nominated by prior winners of the Nobel Peace Prize. So we're happy because it shows gravitas and street cred for the foundation, for our clients that are out there. And we've had 11 of our clients, KIA in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, of course, we lost one of my close friends and one of our best advisory board members in the attack in Benghazi, the Navy SEAL, Glenn Doherty, one of our strongest supporters. We're still not over that yet. I don't know that we're ever going to get over that. So this is a very, very serious business.
There's so much we need to talk. We need to reschedule you again when things start to slow down.
Talk to my assistant, Becky. We'll do it.
Okay, Donna, go ahead and reschedule some more. This is one thing that I want to do. She's got the first of the 2 articles posted now. So people go to freedomsphoenix.com. You'll see the articles. Go into today's archive, and you'll see what we're talking about. Now, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that I get from you an idea. Have you been contacted or have any kind of inclination from the White House of their involvement, support? They're in, you know, their last term here. They might be able to, you know, make nice with something. I mean, are they really, or are they just kind of avoid it in the military or in somebody up higher actually runs this country?
We've had no contact. And having spent over three years in the Reagan West Wing as one of his lawyers, as a White House Assistant General Counsel in the White House Office of Administration and the Office of Management and Budget, I know that it's not that hard to reach out. We've tried to reach out. We've pretty much given up trying to reach out to anyone politically because they're too afraid to touch this. They're afraid that they're going to lose, you know, money and votes. And it's you know, everybody's against rape, but when you start talking about spiritual rape, they run away. They run away from the sound of gunfire. So not yet. We have hopes. But with the kind of support that we get from being on wonderful shows like yours, Ernie, and from the great self-sacrifice of fantastic Americans like Blake Page and all of our other clients, we are hopeful that our continued militancy and aggression in support of the Constitution will bear fruit.
You know, I'm hopeful that, you know, since we have going into 13, there's going to be an unfettered Ron Paul that I would think has so much support from the military for just the same fundamental, basic, principle reasons that you are bringing light to this kind of stuff. I think, you know, there might be some kind of overlap between the interest of constitutionality and the role of the military and not to be brainwashing us. All right. See, we're out of time. Damn it. Okay. We'll go ahead and schedule you again, and we'll get you as soon as they can get you back on, because there's a lot more to talk about. The reason I bring that up is because Dr. Paul's chief of staff came on a week ago Friday and kind of gave, you know, what the future is going to be with Dr. Paul's mainly going to be the war and the relationship with the Federal Reserve. Dennis Kucinich came on twice in a week and a half or so. He wanted to really be part of this thing. It looks like Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul in 13 are going to be focusing on the war.
And, well, yeah, I mean, I know I've had a chance to meet Dennis as well as his beautiful wife. They're both fantastic people. I've not met Ron Paul yet, but I know there's a lot about him that I like. From our perspective, you know, we're all Americans. We're all in this together. But we have to understand that this country was founded with an iron wall between government and faith. It doesn't mean look at de Tocqueville, who traveled this country 50 years after it started, saying how many he marveled at the amount of the different types of religions and how fervently Americans, you know, joyously and comprehensively celebrated them. You just cannot have any particular religion, Ernie, engage the machinery of the state, because when that happens, we don't end up with little creeks, rivers, ponds, or lakes. In fact, we end up with oceans and oceans of blood, and that's what we'll talk about next time.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. Hey, before I let you go, Donna sent me a note reminding me of the e-zine. Do you have an article, something up there we can get into this month's e-zine?
We have anything you may need. If you need anything, just contact our promo folks in Los Angeles, 805-376. 805-376. I've got another reporter on this line. I got to run.
All right. We're all over it, man. Thanks.
Brother, be well. Thank you.
You too. Good luck.
We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
All right, we're back. Now, I want to get right to this. Mikey Weinstein, I really like him. I've been spending a lot of time getting to know him over the years. We've had him on regular basis. Big stories like this are always happening. I mean, stupid stuff that the bad guys are doing. And what's going on is at West Point, they're making it very clear that you are not worthy unless you are a certain type of soldier, Christian soldier, that will influence and encourage and make and do, and your men underneath, and we need to infect at the top to be able to get in this indoctrination of. And this comes from somewhere. This comes from somewhere. Where? From the top. Top of what? I don't know. Higher than, these guys. I mean, we're talking admirals and generals and stuff. Okay? So and what role does the Obama administration play in this? Hey, man, they're just like, we're not really in charge. They're just caretakers. You know, they're just, faces. They're just fronts. They're just facade. There's something else going. And the only way to beat it is with culture. That's why we do it. And I, off air of talking, it's one of the things that, of course, we get Dr. Paul on. I'm going to wait until January to make that attempt, because I want to get after the holidays, after he's out, after, because I want to, get past all this, what we're going to do in the future, 2013. So this is last year, our e-zine for January was future predictions. I need to go look at that. I always make these predictions, and then I go, yeah, whatever, and you go check. I go, yep. That's what happened. So I got to go check my predictions to see how close I was. But I guarantee, bad guys being bad. I mean, it increase their influence and control over. And if you can get a bunch of guys, not just with guns, like a local law enforcement, not just a multi-jurisdictional task force with their, they get their little helicopter gunships and their tanks with 50 calibers. You're getting to the point where you have U.S. military. I got my finger hovered over the button. And these guys feel righteous indignation against the blah, blah, have no problem pushing the button, because that has been a problem in the Air Force, especially for a long time. When they do these missile training, you don't know if it's really time to push the button, turn the key. They'll find a large percentage don't. No, not doing it. I kill millions of people. I turned it down. Not doing it. My missile gun, not doing it. They want to take the men out of the loop. Well, there's always one guy, there's always somebody. They'll say, yep, we're doing it. And if we sit back and do nothing, we're just all, responsible. Or we, at the very least, shouldn't be surprised when, death and destruction comes raining down on us. And I mean, wow, what? In the Bible, there are many stories where they would beseech God, have mercy on us. Excuse me. Excuse me. They go to God and they say, hey, man, save us from the galloping hordes of, for whatever fill-in-the-blank reason. And the only justification was, one, it was always you had the suffering and damnation coming because you weren't being good people yourself. And the only reason I'm going to save you is if you repent and come back and do and grovel before and be part of what, and it's never been about just being a decent, good person until Christ. And that's what the point was. The New Testament was that, hey, man, I'm just going to, it's not, you can't go to Caesar and say, make him be his brother's keeper. Get the legions to go and do it. It's a cultural thing. I am the way, the light. This way. What way? Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. I got a cough. Excuse me. Yep, go get me a cough drop, please. Now, this is a, I can see it coming. They're going to be in such a way that they're in position to go after, it's a galloping horde and the evil, and we got to go and whip ass, and, whether domestic or foreign or whatever, make it up, false flag, whatever the heck they're going to do, in the name of God, they're going to have somebody push a button and a joystick on a drone? You don't even have to go up in the air? Yeah, I'm sorry, I got a tick on my throat. So you can see the culture. I give you an example. Here I have Sunburst Farm News. Now, Sunburst Farms here where we live is probably like a square mile, and it's, at least 1-2 acre little areas here in Phoenix. That's the only association is the irrigation. I mean, it's not like a homeowner association for what color your, awnings are. It's just an association for the irrigation, for the water. So let me drop that cough drop. What? You're taking it from me, then you better be ready to talk about something. What? Confirmed. Confused. What? Membership in the Sunburst Farms HOA is not the same as membership in the irrigation district. Okay. The irrigation district is responsible for delivering water, blah, blah, blah. Membership is voluntary. I highly recommended to join the HOA to learn more about the benefits of... Yeah, well, I don't want to benefit, thank you. Man. Okay, now this is what's going on. Holiday hayrides and no tree left behind for 2012. The holiday hayrides are the best attended annual neighborhood event in Sunburst. Sadly, many streets and the farms have remained dark in recent years. No Tree Left Behind in 2012 seeks to change that and make the farms a magical place for children this year by asking all residents to display at least one set of lights in their front yard. Let me tell you what's going on. Here they do a hayride. There's some residents been here a long time. And they do a ride where they get all the kids and grandkids and they go around the farms and they would have... And I remember when I was a kid, this was well lit, and you had all kinds of different animated, scenes and on the roof and all kinds of stuff. The last couple of years, nothing. I mean, literally, nothing. Dark streets. And I don't know if it's the same in your area, but this Christmas light thing has really taken a back seat when people got economic troubles. It's not in the spirit. They don't care. They don't have the money. So what they're doing is an association here are, are providing lights, 100 lights as a starter just to put on some tree, freaking put a light around your mailbox, something. so that we have something to look at. I mean, you know, it's like you go down in a hayride, go down the street, you know, it's a half a mile and you see no lights. Now, we'll have some lights up, you know, and we'll put up a little bit. We have the party this Saturday, and we'll go ahead and put up some lights just to, you know, say we did and have some fun because Donna likes having lights. So I went and bought a bunch of lights because, you know, I love my wife. Now, the thing is that this attitude is prevalent everywhere. I can see it happening. It's all over the last few years. It's just kind of the spirit. What spirit? All this commercialization thing. Years ago when our kids are, you know, starting to, you know, they're still in high school, but they're old enough and they got all their little gizmos and gadgets they really needed. We just started doing Secret Santas because there's so much of us and we just, you know, draw and I get an individual that I'm a very good Secret Santa because I only got to get one really cool gift. Everybody gets one. They've been really good about it. We get some cool stuff, you know. So that's our job. We are the Santa to one person. Everybody else, just party with, come over to the party, have some fun, eats, done, maybe send a card, you know, pictures, do, you know, Evite with a nice, you know, something. But it's not this, the attitude has changed. We're having a much better result of just, you know, family. The commercialization of Christmas and so on has really given way not just to, you know, money you spend and everything, but how you celebrate it. It's not a goodwill towards men kind of thing. It's a, you know, this is what Christianity means, and we got to, you know, how can we twist and turn this into justifying going and killing somebody? Well, that's why I'm glad Mikey Weinstein is there, because I can see all this stuff, all of it, is changing. We're in a cultural shift right now. I can feel it. So I'm just, you know, how are we going to benefit from this? We'll talk about it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to start lining up a bunch of my just favorite songs just because I can. Yeah, here we go. All right. Let me go ahead and go through some headlines real quick and you kind of get where we're going on this. And then the next hour, you know, I'll expand on some other stuff. You know, one thing I want to put up here. Let me put this up. All right. James Bond. A graphene nanotube hybrid. Okay. We were talking about this in the last hour. Somebody sent this. I went and looked at it. I go, oh, I know that experiment. I can do that. I go do it right now. At the top of the hour, I get 8 minutes and 10 seconds, you know, to run out to the barn, the lab, and I turn on everything on, do, preheat, get ready to go. Get the copper, get some graphene, get to a new one. So, okay, here, go. And I'll do that at the end of this segment. I have 8 minutes. By the end of the show, you know, I got like a 4 minute break right before the, you know, before I get in the last segment in the third hour, and I might be able to go out and look and say, woohoo, look what we made. It's very nice when you got your own lab. So this is the kind of thing I'd like to get involvement of the audience and so on. And he sent me, I go, this is cool. I'm glad I didn't miss this. All right. That is the point that I'm trying to make, is that, you know, this kind of stuff, there's a lot of little things. I mean, doing carbon nanotubes and battery nickel iron kind of, you know, that's probably on the higher end of, you know, messing around. But, you know, there's a lot of other stuff, even more simple. There's so many things I'd like to do if I have more time. I'm really trying to clear my schedule by the end of this year to be able to focus on more of this kind of, you know, earth-changing individual lives, advocating for getting, we're going to free the planet kind of mentality stuff. Because we can. And to encourage, like we encouraged all the activism over the last decades, Don and I have done, I want to encourage a lot of this innovation. Because the activism has always been about, hey, they're being bad. You know, bad guys being bad, and they are curtailing our ability to. They're getting involved in. socially and economically engineering without the constitutional justification or the moral justification or the just freaking what they say they're doing it for a reason kind of is not justified. Okay? We do all that. Done! Done! Get it. Culture thing going, and we'll continue that in support of certainly this anti-war thing. I mean, this is, they're just going to keep building up to, there's something else planned. They need a whole bunch of people dead or something. I mean, something's coming. You know, I'm watching the Mankind, History of Us, all of us, you know, the bubonic plague took out, you know, tens of millions of people. You know, I mean, they're threatening and prepping us for some kind of big die-off, de la whatever. You know, so I get a cough, you know, where's my little zinc tablet and some colloidal silver kind of deal. So I've been able to hold off a lot of, you know, I don't really get too awful sick. So I'm, you know, I'm functional. So I feel pretty good. But the thing is, it's a nutritional deal. Well, they're stripping nutrition out of everything. So I'm like, is there a reason? Well, yeah, same side effect, what difference does it make? Okay, so I am looking at, you know, a lot of things that we can do, and I'm trying to, you know, keep myself inspired and inspire you, you know, through me being excited about different, I always got to take on some big challenge, big, that often starts small, which is what 2013 is about. One person you got to bring around, at least you don't got to convince them. You just got to have them understand why you're so convinced. You know, I you wouldn't believe how long I've been doing it, 20 years, and that anyone you would think would be the hardest case, if you're nice, you don't make them uncomfortable being around, you just share your opinion and why you're convinced, and you know, every now and then you'll point out, oh, this one thing, oh, and then they'll start coming to you. Oh, I bet you're upset about this one thing. Yeah, you know, this is my opinion of it. Boom, done, next. You know, a nice golf shot. I mean, you know, you don't got to berate them. You know, Thanksgiving dinner is not the time to try and, you know, change everybody at the table kind of thing. Share your opinion. You're done. Yeah, well, you know, that's just, you know, why I think that. Yeah, but what about, past potatoes. So, you know, this is, you know, what we're going to be doing in 2013. I'm going to start hammering. I mean, got other stuff to do. I mean, there's all kinds of different activist stuff there. But my main focus is, how is that effort making someone you love aware of what they need to be aware of, because here it freaking comes. So, I mean, what's your real goal? Is your real goal to get absolution or some kind of support, or you got such a low self-esteem you need adoration for your position, or are you about saving asses? There's freeing minds, and then it gets down to saving asses. I think we're down in the saving asses category right now. So that's where I want to focus. Now let's go ahead and go over some of the news. All right. Now, we'll do this in the next hour a lot, and I got 4 minutes. Okay. I do want to get in. We might start the next segment with Dr. Paul's Texas Straight Talk, because, you know, this all this, you know, fiscal cliff crap, you know, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. And yeah, we'll go over on that. All right. The TSA is also creating and maintaining a watch list of individuals who are disqualified from eligibility from the TSA pre-scan. Now, what they're doing is that, you know, you have this kind of, okay, well, you don't have to be in as long a line. You get the special little, I get to go through here kind of thing. If I got the, I'm a good guy. You know, you don't have to bother about me. I don't have to have, the full anal probe. Well, if you get denied that list for whatever, they look into you and they do their person of interest retro, you've been added to kind of, they can't look at everybody. So who do they look at? The people asking for special privileges. So you go ask for special privileges and they go, oh, no. Not only do you not get the special privilege, you get on the special list because you're one of them. You know, I mean, am I one of them? I'd be disappointed if I wasn't. Okay, so that's what's going on. You know, you start list, you get more lists. That's just the way it is. Iran claims capture of another U.S. drone. All right, you know, shocking. And they say this one came off an aircraft carrier, and they're going, we got it, and it's ours now, and, you know, sucks to be you. I mean, you know, it's amazing how much technology we're giving them. We'll just fly it over there and give it to you. Here you go. Then we have punishing the Paulinians. Now, what this is about is Speaker Boehner is going through the list of people that are on different various committees and punishing people that haven't voted with leadership the way they want to. Now, it may, you've been more principled, you're more, Ron Paul kind of oriented, you have, you know, and one of the congressmen here, that, you know, big Ron Paul guy in the revolution, you know, endorsing, going, pushing, people going, yeah, we got to vote for this guy. Of course, I'm like, still voting, but David Schweikert, he goes in and he doesn't kiss the ring enough. So they take him off some of the prime committees and say, nope, you're not allowed. Why? Because you didn't vote 100% the way, because we can, and you're done next. You got reelected, and in fact, he beat Ben Quayle, okay, which is, son of Dan Quayle. So that, you know, didn't make him, you know, everybody's favorite to begin with. And which is why they wanted Ben Quayle elected, is because David Schweikert wasn't kissing the ring enough. And we thought he was kissing it too much, because this is what happens. Well, I still got to play a little bit with this. I go, look, you're 100% in, or you're 100% out. This is the point that I keep making. And what happened? Oh, he kind of a little bit, and we'll do the big and so on. And what happened? Boom, you're off the committees. Either you're all in or you're all out, one or the other. Well, I say the same thing. This mamby-pamby a little bit kind of sort of thing, how's that working out for you? You know, and he almost lost the primary in this because he, you know, didn't have big full support of the Revolution kind of people and the Paul people that, got close. But the thing is that, did he learn his lesson? So what's he going to do now? I'd be good, Massa. I'll vote the way y'all want. Or is he going to go hardcore like Dr. Paul? You know, and then the support comes back. But it's just, you know, you're already showing yourself to be kind of a little compromised and knew which way to wind blowing and finger up and special interest, give me the money I need to get back in kind of thing. You know, so this is, I'm just telling you, I don't see politics as a solution. I just don't. Because there's not enough people like Dr. Paul. He set the standard, and they're just not going to go up for it. Because what happens? GOP serves up $8 billion in new taxes. House Republican leaders endorsed a far-reaching plan Monday to rein in the national debt that would raise $800 billion in new tax revenue. Yep, here we go. Well, they're going to do the same thing. You know, same effing difference. You know, I just see where this is going. You know, where are you going to be? You know, who are you going to support? What are you going to do? You know, quit worrying about all the big kind of whatever. You know, that's going to take care of itself. It's now time to start saving asses and, you know, the lives and the futures of those you love. If you're not willing to do that, you're not that good, are you? You know, I mean, you could cite, you know, moral reasons, constitutional reasons, but, you know, like Dr. Paul said, yeah, you're going to win this economic thing. I am really concerned that it's going to get a lot worse. Is that what we need? I mean, a lot of people you talk to has been in, you know, this activism thing for a long time. They're like, look, there's always eventually a sea change. And it's going to come down when you don't got no change in your pocket. Get ready for it. Here it comes. We're going to try and keep you informed.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
All right, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I made it just in time. I was busy in the lab, and I almost like, oh yeah, I got a radio show to do, because this is what happened. All right, I go at the end of the first hour, because someone sent me, you know, I get a lot of stuff, a lot of ideas, a lot of people are interested, a lot of people won't come. We have the Christmas party this Saturday. We got to make part of the tour, you know, and keep open the lab, kind of look, ain't cool. And what happened? What here, Donna? The phone's ringing. It's Jeff. Always calling in. Tell him to call in. He's got something interesting. All right. So this is another guy. Now what happened was, is I go, I see what they're talking. I got the chemicals for that. I can do that experiment. In an hour and a half, I can find out whether it works. Boom. So I get everything all heated up. I run out to the lab. Yeah, I do this, finally, you know, prep this, kind of get, you know, slide goes in, boom, the baffle kind of tightened up, and boom, flip it on, and gas is going, and get it rigged, get you go. And then you gotta wait till tomorrow. So this is, it's gonna be like that. I gave myself all of 2013 to do. I'm just glad I got to this point so far. In just a couple of months, I'm able to have the full equipped lab that I can do this. Of course, I'm sure there's some new whiz bang thing that I'm gonna need. But, you know, fortunately, I have machinist sons. If I need some little something, I'll tell you one thing now on the side that we're working on. As a grandfather, you know, in a Second Amendment kind of, you know, I wish to have enough guns around that I win. I mean, you know, it didn't do me any good in the safe. But I got grandkids, and they're getting older, and they're going to be going in and around and under and over and kind of, you know how kids are. So it's responsible. I mean, I probably got another, week. You know, by the end of the year, I need to come up with something. I'm going to have to start repositioning, and they're going to be able to and play, and I don't want. So one of the things I'd like to have, like a little nightstand, you know, kind of attached to my bed frame on the side that it folds down and then folds up. I can make a little table. You know, I can set my coffee or a remote on or something like that. And it'd be kind of a box that, you know, it'll fold down or open up and so on that I can have a firearm in or even a shotgun or a big giant 50 cal, whatever. I mean, who cares? You know, different sizes. So I'm going, you know, it just slipped in between the box spring and the mattress, and it kind of be bolted the frame, come out, make it really nice and solid and cool, and, you know, and machine it and do and whatever, and, you know, plywood or mahogany or what I do woodworking, I make it happen. But the hardware I need done by somebody, and me think, oh yeah, my sons are machinists. So I told him, I said, look, you know, this is the idea. I mean, it's in your best interest. It's your daughter and, you know, your son and daughters. So I'm like, can you help me out here? Yes, I can. So we designed, kind of, we're working on that. I mean, if I put full court press on this thing, which it looks like we're going to have to here next month or so, you know, we'll have it to where, you know, I will have available to me in a secure area next to the bed where I can get access to, because stuff on top of the refrigerator or something like that, I'm not really worried about. But, you know, in the bedroom, I get, done. How popular would that be with parents and grandparents? Heck, that's a whole nother business. But then you go, oh, you got to get a patent up now. You know, what's my main goal here? You know, my grandkids be safe. I be safe. You know, so, you know, that's kind of how I see it. I mean, yeah, you could market it. You could sell it. We may. I mean, that's, you know, stuff happens. But it's going to be something like that. It's going to be the capacity. You know, what they say. You know what luck is? It's when opportunity meets preparation. That's what luck is. So all the years that we've been, you know, playing with wood and woodworking and building furniture and machining and labbing, all, you know, sooner or later, all that comes together and from a blind side out of whatever the heck, kind of, boom, here we go. And then having a platform to promote it, like Freedom Phoenix and the E-Zine and the radio and everything, doesn't suck either. And I'm telling you, this is not just available. I tell you, when we started the radio studio, it was not really for me. I already done my radio thing. I'm good. You know, I get enough attention to fill my whatever low self-esteem, self-confidence. I'm good. You know, redhead stepchild kind of thing. You know, well, I wasn't stepchild, but I was redheaded. So this is, you know, it kind of drives, you know, a lot of the, you know, look at me. So this is, I'm good. Now, you get 50 something, you know, I get enough attention. But I'm telling you, this is a platform set for you to get the attention you deserve. If you got a product, if you got a thing, if you got a book, okay? Barry Hess's book, I just now starting to get able to be read Barry's book because he's been very patient with me. He got it done. I'm all right. I had a bunch of other stuff. Well, one of them, Michael Badnarik's book, okay? I'm glad he wrote it because my thing, and I was happy to do the foreword because the foreword really gave my impression of it in review. And the whole point is, why? Why would someone live a life like he did? You know, be so devoted to just claiming his individual sovereignty. That's what propelled all of his activities. Just look, man, I own me. You know, up against the big bad. You know, it was like, you know, in little ways, like, taxes and driver's licenses and permission slips and whatever, to the point he runs for president of the United States and gets the nomination against Aaron Russo and Gary Nolan, which was, the insider choice there. All of a sudden, Michael got the nomination, and everybody went, whew, man, you know, we get to hold off, you know, this bastardization of the libertarian philosophy one more four-year election cycle. Michael will, at very least, do no harm, and he did a lot of good.
So I'm glad to see him there. Now, there's other things that we can do. You want to be able to machine stuff, but I mean, this 3D printing thing, you can get pretty much anything you want done, you know, and you just 3D print it, unless it's metal. But the technology is the same, to where if you have metal powder and lasers, you can melt it in, you know, same way and build up and be conductive and metal. With it. Oh, but there's some other stuff coming. Okay, let's take a look at this. Staples stores to offer custom 3D printing. In the same way that photographers can upload their image files to a photo lab for printing, people will soon be able to upload their CAD CAM files to the Staples Office Center for 3D printing on a high-end printer. The only catch is the finished objects will be made out of paper. So they're going to do 3D prototyping, and this is the kind of thing that would be like in Jurassic Park 2. You know, the Velociraptor cranial resonance nasal cavity thing that they skull deal they wanted to do to be able to make the sounds that they made in the Velociraptor, blah, blah, blah. But that machine that you see in that movie, if you go rewatch it in the beginning, you'll see that this is what they're talking about. So this has already been depicted in the movies, and here we go. Staples Easy 3D Service is the result of a partnership between Staples Chain of Office Supply Stores and McCore Technologies, using an online interface to be able to submit the file and yada, 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 but it's paper. So utilizing 0.1 millimeter thick layers of ordinary business letter paper and colored ink, the Iris will proceed to create a full-color, three-dimensional physical model of the object. The user can then pick that model up at the store or have it mailed to them. Needless to say, paper might not be the ideal material for everyone's projects, but it should work well for people like architects, artists, or designers. And that's, you know, one of the benefits is that, you know, if you want a 3D version of the building, of the this, of the that, of the kind of show and people and how and, you know, the way it works, boom, done. I just saw, that was last night, they did a thing on television. I was whipping through the channels, and they had about the first open dome that was in, I think it was Montreal, Toronto. So anyway, it was a big baseball, football field dome that you had all these rained out days and everything. And they said, we need an enclosed dome that we can have the sporting event and then, you know, open it up for when it's a nice day and so on, because baseball wants to be played outside anyway. So they spent $100,000 on just showing the design so people can see what it did. Well, heck, they can 3D print it for how much? I don't know, a couple hundred bucks? I mean, what degree is that from $100,000 down to a couple hundred? You see my point? Productivity. But then there's another group that came up with a new 3D printing material. Now, we'll talk about that when we come back too. You're going to go, oh. You want to see that one.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience, and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
In the form of what? Which one? Well, you know, it's one thing we want to get to is the, karma, okay? I mean, Doug Casey on karma. What goes around comes around. The karma police. All right. He's got his new book coming out. Don's going to try and get Doug Casey on. And, that'd be interesting. Let's go ahead and have that conversation. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. We'll get him on. We'll talk about it. Okay. Homeland Security is building a $4 billion, 170-acre complex for 17,000 employees because they love us to death. You're not whatever enough. I mean, you think Janet Napolitano is going on in the military, you know, make them more Christian so they can be, you know, the more nicer to their brother? I mean, is that their motivation? No. I see where this is going. You know, it's bad. So I'm okay. We'll see. We just got to be ready for what's coming. It's going to get, I don't know, does it hide? Does it move? Is it what? Get really small? Bring your head in your shell? Try and, you know, I mean, at some point, there will be, I mean, that's one thing, the history of mankind, you know, the history of us thing. You know, it always comes down to there always some individual that says, no. Well, they don't embrace that. Used to in America, they did. So what do? They go, here's the city. You like this. Give us your guns, get a free flu shot and a Wegmans gift card. All right, whereas the city residents or residents of any other community may bring their unwanted weapons unloaded and wrapped in a bag from 9 to 3 Saturday at the Worcester Police Headquarters in Lincoln Square. Okay, is this United Kingdom? Yeah, whatever. Same mentality somewhere. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Because, you know, it's like turn in your guns, you know, and you get a flu shot. Yay. Okay. That makes me. Oh, and this reminds me. Yesterday, you know, my son, he was 2 days into his week vacation before we found out he was on vacation. You know, he's like, I'm saying, when do I get some dad time? Well, his sister, that's who he's hung out mostly. Forrest hung out with his sister, Sierra, because she's co-hang out with. And so yesterday, she's moving into a new, a different home. And her and a boyfriend moving into her own house out, you know, she was staying with her sister, Rhea, you know, all this time, saving up money, doing, having no bills and so on. And that's cool. You know, pay off car, all that kind of, now it's time and moving to a house. So I'm going, all right, that's cool. What about that 9mm gun I got you when you graduated from high school? You know, what about that? You got it? Used it? No, I didn't even shot it. I went and took it out shooting just to make sure it worked. I go, no, heck no. You need to understand, be familiar with, and practice with this 9mm, and, before you are off on your own by your lonesome mountain, whatever. Because, you know, where she was staying, you know, my son-in-law and daughter, and they have firearm, and they're all, yeah, it's all good, you know, several layers of. So I'm going, all right, no, we need to go out. So yesterday we went out in the desert because the shooting ranges here are closed on Monday because government. But so I'm going, all right, let's go ahead and go out in the desert and your brother Forrest, and we'll make an afternoon of it. So yesterday afternoon is one of the things that we did. We went out and went through the whole thing for, and she, you know, got, you know, familiar with the firearm at least. Somebody's 15, 20 feet away, you know, she wins. And she's really good, you know, our 10/22, that little Ruger, man. Yeah, scope on it goes ding, 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 man. It's just laser beam. I really like that thing. It's fun. It's cheap to shoot. Well, not as cheap. This Saturday was a big Crossroads of the West gun show, and it was packed. We went Saturday, me and Keith, one of the activists here, he asked, you know, we were talking about weeks ago, and he said, yeah, we'll go. Okay, so we wound up going together, and went and saw a bunch of people and said, yo, what's up? And it was just packed. What people were buying the most of was ammo. I mean, I'm sure they were buying a lot of guns, but I didn't see as much gun trading as I did ammo. Seems like everybody's gunned up. I went to every, it was like 1,200 tables. This is enormous, an enormous gun show. And you go around and you see all these tables, all kinds, and I'm going, nah, after a couple of decades, I got everything I thought I might want to need. I mean, what was the thing? I got a compass, you know, to put in one of the bug out bags, you know, that I didn't have one for. I got a really cool knife sharpener, uses a carbide, you know, blah, blah, peel, whatever. I got, stupid stuff like that, you know? I mean, well, not stupid, but little things. So I'm going, okay, I saved some money, except when I went to buy ammo. And I'm going, damn, dam. It is really expensive dam. I need to, you know, open up my reloading thing again. But you can't do that with 22. And I don't want to have to get new dies for a 40 caliber that I got from a friend that needed some money and I bought. Now I got a 40 caliber, you know, so I'm going to get another die. I mean, you know, for reloading, I just, you know, buy someone out, shop, and bear a coat. I like them. So I'm, you know, looking at this. I'm going to turn it in for a flu shot. Let me tell you what they did here. They stopped doing the gun trade-in things here because every time they do it, we would go out nearby on the sidewalk or something and have signs, check here first. We'll give you top dollar. Because they were giving like, you know, $25 gift certificate or $100 gift certificate to Walmart or some crap like that. And we're going, look, you know, check with that. We go, yep, this is junk. Go turn it in. Oh, this one, hey, we'll give you $100 with it. Okay, you win. Oh, they didn't like that. Now, law enforcement, they're coming, you're gunning, you can't, you're not. Nope, it's perfectly legal. Bite me. Talk to my attorney standing here. And we do that, and they just, damn it. So they don't do the gun trade-ins anymore that we know of, because every time they do it, we go and do this. And they're like, oh, curse you, Red Baron. So this is just, you know, how we roll. All right? Some things maybe you can do. And it's kind of unique to Arizona, too. It's not, you can always do this everywhere else. But we have some fun. All right, let's see. What's this? Cop kills man, then enters home to seize camera from witness wearing plain clothes. Okay, now this is what happened. There was three Miami-Dade police detectives who pulled up behind Alexis Suarez after he had parked in front of his home last week, blocking his car in. They were not wearing uniforms, nor did they appear to be wearing badges around their necks, according to sources familiar with the incident. And they were not driving a marked patrol car as they hopped out with their guns drawn, driving instead a black pickup truck that they did not look anything remotely like a police car. Police say Suarez, a security guard with a concealed weapons permit, pulled out his own gun, which is when they shot him dead. But his relatives don't believe he pulled his gun, and if he did, it was because he feared he was being robbed at gunpoint. Now, somebody got this on camera. What do? They just busted and took it. And I think it was, is this a case where there was one where the Supreme Court ruled and said, yeah, that's okay. Okay. They go, yeah, because it's because they can. They make it up as they go along. So we're going to find out more about this. I think we'll get somebody on. Let's go ahead and get Photography is Not a Crime Guy on, what's his name? Carlos. Yeah, Carlos. He's going to get on and talk about this. I think this is a good one. Photography is not a crime unless you're photographing police doing a crime. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about America's first monument to the Bill of Rights, Arizona dedication ceremony, Saturday, December 15th, Bill of Rights Day. Oh, we've been working on this for years, and finally, it's being put up here in Arizona.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, where we're, complaining.
Fighting in the streets.
And fighting in the streets.
With our children at our feet.
Yeah, and they're growing up learning what we're fighting for and why and how, and, you know, bad guys, they got to amp up their game, and it's got to go fast, and I think they are. I mean, you know, there's, you know, lots of signs of damn. Okay. Now, the experiment, I don't know, can I go out and check it in 4 minutes at the end of this segment and tell you what? Nah, you got to wait till tomorrow. All right, I'll tell you what happens with the experiment tomorrow. That'll be fun. Okay. Now, let's go ahead and get back to the news here real quick. Save the date. Dedication ceremony for the Bill of Rights Monument at the Arizona Capitol. Now, this is a something we've been working on. Oh, man, it's a long story. Bottom line, all they wanted was to have a space at the Capitol Park there by the Arizona State Capitol to put up a privately funded, we'll take care of it, raise hundreds of thousands of dollars to put up the first monument to the Bill of Rights in the country. See, let me tell you how this came. Chris Bliss is a popular comedian and performer and so on, open for Michael Jackson kind of guy. I mean, he was a big deal. You know, David Letterman kind of deal. Well, he's a friend of Charles's, mine, and I have him on the show and so on, and we worked with him on this, and he would go out and say, well, you know, it's about the Ten Commandment thing. Well, you know, as long as you got the Bill of Rights monument there with the Ten Commandments that Cecil B. DeMille did with the, you know, Charlton Heston Ten Commandment movie that went around the country, and they put them on Supreme Court lawns and state buildings and whatever, you know, because who's against Ten Commandments, you know? So they put those on, and everybody starts complaining, oh, you shouldn't have. He goes, yeah, even though he's liberal, progressive, Air America guy, he was like, yeah, what's the difference as long as you got a Bill of Rights monument there, freedom from, who cares? And then he was demonstrated to him that there wasn't a single monument to the Bill of Rights in the entire country. Not in Washington, not in the state, not in the, he goes, are you freaking kidding me? So he started this thing called mybillofrights.org. And while we were promoting it and so on, there was artwork that was done. This was done by a listener. Tell her you'd marry her all over again. You know, mybillofrights.org and Lady Liberty and all that kind of stuff. So he started raising money. Texas, they got some land set aside. A private individual got a little monument to it, you know, in Iowa. And they, you know, started working on that. Well, Arizona was the first one that got it done, dealt with, boom, dedication starts this a week from Saturday. Done. Bill of Rights Day. Done. Now, the getting the bill passed was an act of God. You know, it was amazing. We had, now, Kirsten Sinema, the one that Pal Gamel ran against when she's a state senator, communistic. Man, hated the Second Amendment. Okay, I guess. Do we have to do one to the Second Amendment? I mean, that kind of crap. So anyway, so she's like, all right, as long as it's got the first. She co-sponsored along with Karen Johnson that later became Ron Paul's co-chair for her state of Arizona, his campaign for president. So them together, really right, conservative Republican, really left, liberal, progressive Democrat, co-sponsored this bill. Yes, we can have free space just to put, you pay for it, to put a monument to the Bill of Rights. The Republicans, Russell Pierce, Mr. Immigration Guy, freaked out. Can't have a Democrat co-sponsoring this thing. Hell no. Did a striker bill, got rid of the bill, killed it, and everything, redone it, and everything. So it's just Republicans. That's how they roll. And I told Chris, I'm going, look, man, you don't understand how petty these guys and how they work. So we kind of navigated and managed that through, and he sent me this, and we've been involved in this from the beginning, how it's a PR thing. So we were doing a lot behind the scenes to make sure you want to come up against, you sure you want to play this game? So we got it done and taken care of, and he's been appreciative of that, and that's how we're friends. So now finally, he goes, Ernie, it's done. Here we go. You know, December 15th, done. Now that evening is when we have the Patriot Roast that 4409 Renee's putting on as a fundraiser, you know, for all their stuff. So so earlier that day, we're going to be out at Wesley Bowling Plaza doing a dedication to the first monument. You think there's another monument, the Bill of Rights? You go find it and you tell me all about it and you email me at publisher@freedomsphoenix.com because there isn't. And how he found out is that he was doing this he just assumed there was somewhere. And he was going, no, there isn't, Chris. You are seriously? So he started this foundation and raised the money, and this is the first one. Congratulations, Chris Bliss. MyBillOfRights.org. Now, while we're doing that, celebrating the Bill of Rights as if it, you know, matters anymore, it's getting to the point to where, yeah, of course the government's going to, you know, yay, a Bill of Rights, right? When, you know, kind of doesn't, they don't care, you know, whatever. It's just a game they play. Moscow Times, U.S. will collapse the same way the Soviet Union and Yugoslavia did. And go on details, but, you know, everybody else knows. Cashless society is almost here and with some very sinister implications. The cashless revolution is no different. It should be abundantly clear by now that the global financial meltdown has been engineered at every juncture of its unfolding by the very private central banks who expand and contract the money supply. A dollar or euro collapse will trigger a global economic crisis, which is a prime opportunity to introduce the next phase. It's arguable that we approach the cusp of the U.S. dollar collapse and perhaps a euro implosion on the back of end of it. Risks of hyperinflation are very real here, but if you control the money supply, you might already have a ready-made solution waiting in the wings. You will not be worrying about the rift, only waiting for the chaos to ensue so as to maximize your own booty from the crisis. You know, and they say, you know, what did they, you know, the Fed did it. What'd they do? Printed money and bought gold with it. Yeah, that's what's going on. You know, they say, hey, you know, I can just print this money and go buy stuff? Okay. You know, I'm like, okay. I mean, that's it. You know, they're going to go to the world, though. It's the world, though. Yep, the world, though. Okay, so we're going to go do the world, though. World, though, world, though, world, though. Yeah, whatever. All right. You know, get ready. Got silver? All right. MIT researchers create the Swiss Army knife of the robotics world. I think this is really cool. What happens is they've created a metal. A lot of people, if you've been paying attention to Freedom's Phoenix, we've shown this in years past. There is a metal that you put a current through it, and you can get it to take whatever shape. Imagine this. You have a car that's not made of carbon fiber. It's made of some kind of metal. And you go and you get in a wreck, okay? You put an electrical charge to it, and boom, it goes to its original shape. Now, think about it. You can have metal that has a predetermined shape or crystalline structure that's, you know, that it's inherently got, and you dent it or whatever. You put electrical charge in, boom, it pops back out. I mean, it's science fiction stuff. So this is what they're talking about here. It's a Swiss Army knife of the robotics world. What they do is with different currents and things, you know, and I know they're using part of it. It's probably got some other stuff to it, but I know what they're doing is before I even read this, there's some aspect of metal that has a structure memory in it, and you put a current or don't, and it changes the size and shape of whatever, and you can make all kinds of cool stuff with it. And, you know, go check out that article. It's cool. Let's see. A substance called carbomorph is the key to 3D printing entire electronic gadgets. Okay, now listen to this. For a long time now, the ability to print electronic circuitry and components on commercially available 3D printers has been viewed as a development that will thrust 3D printing out of its current nascent maker space and into the mainstream of both manufacturing and home fabrication. And while it's already been demonstrated on specialized printers in the lab, researchers at the University of Warwick in the UK have developed a low-cost material they've named carbomorph. That is conductive, piezo-resistive, and printable in currently available consumer affordable 3D printers. Let me tell you what that means. That means that you can 3D print your own iPad mini. Don't believe me? Wait and see. Because what is it that you want? You know, in any of the components, you want to have, well, you got to have structure, you know. Then you got to have, you know, little transistors and conductive little bitty, you know, circuitry. You have connections too. You got to have a display that. You got to, you know, all of a sudden, you got these different materials that you can put in different concentrations that are melted and positioned and lasered and put in whatever from, boom! It, what is this? It's a replicator. Star Trek's right around the corner. Oh, and you heard it here first.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Bring down Pink Floyd. Yeah, you let it run for a little while. Especially when you're agitated, it's headbanging stuff, man. You know what this makes me think of? You know, get some rock and roll and whatnot with Jordan Page. He's going to be on tomorrow. He's going to talk to us about some of the stuff that he's doing. He's kind of, I'm doing a new album. I'm kind of going more anarchist, man, because I'm like, damn. You know, and he's telling Donna that he's got some kind of military thing. Yeah, hook him up with Mikey Weinstein, man. It's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. You know, and I'm glad Dr. Paul's out there because, you know, he's going to keep it in perspective. He's going to keep working on the young. He's going to keep making sure that the culture gets shifted in the right direction. And I'm, you know, that's cool. And I want to help. I want to help. Okay, let's go back to the news. What do forensic chemists do and why would they cheat? Well, you need to, there's a case going on now, you know, it's amazing. It came out of Popular Science, you know, And what they do is, the bottom line is that it's an incentive for the chemist. You know, they send the detectives send it off to the lab, and they go, oh, here, go test this leafy green substance or this white powdery whatever, and you know, tell us what we already know. It's supposed to be. It probably is this, right? You know, so there's an incentive for them to salt the mine. You know what I mean? Because why? Money. Money, 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 money. You know, so we're getting a big thing on the CPS thing, too. Starting to find out all kinds of stuff because there's an incentive for them to take your children away. You get some kind of federal hundreds of thousands, each kid kind of do whatever. Well, you get more money if it's, you know, your car gets stolen and a police report is over the phone. You say, yeah, but I smelled marijuana on the guy. Oh, here comes the helicopters. Why? It's a money thing. It's subsidized drug war, de la somebody, social and economic engineering kind of crap. And then we have on Freedom's Phoenix today, there was a thing from the Obama administration to where somebody's saying, no, Obama's not going to stop this drug war. Now, all that stuff we said to get elected about marijuana and everything, you know, pay no attention to that. The administration has made it very clear that we're going to go whip ass. You know, we don't give a crap because the UN said we're going to enforce a treaty on Washington State and Colorado. Right? Well, you know, if you can't do that, well, then you can't do the gun thing. You see, it's just it's up here. So I'm just, it's a culture thing. All right. It's all the same stuff. Uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. Okay. Forbidden to mention foreign currency in Ukraine now. All right, this is interesting. Ukraine is struggling with its economy and currency, and as we have seen with other countries, the solution is to pass laws that control money and prop it up. Well, you know this is going to, come to America and the dollar. Spain and Mexico have passed laws restricting cash. There are various forms of control on many currencies, though many are not stated outright here. See the article excerpt above. We have an example of a fairly aggressive attempt at currency manipulation. Like we haven't already got that. It's from Daily Bell. You go on Freedom's Phoenix, see it. Forbidden to mention foreign currency. So this is, I can see where it's going. But, here's your ray of hope in this last segment today. Will a secret, private, manned mission to the moon be announced this week? I told you. Okay, now this, let me tell you what's going on. This summer, 4th of July, Don and I went to Spaceport, which is the government New Mexico thing, near north of Las Cruces in New Mexico, near Truth of Consequences there. We went out to the actual spaceport, talking to the guard out there, talking to local businessmen and so on about, what was promised, what's up, and what's going on. Now, what happened, though, is we learned that just a few hundred miles east in Texas, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, okay, always the gazillionaires, has a very large, many square miles kind of sections of the Texas prairie out in the whatever, and they can do their own little space program called Blue Origin, all right? Now, they created a company called Golden Spike. Like in Golden Spike, they connected the Transcontinental Railroad east-west. They went out and hit the Golden Spike to make the final connection of deal, all right? Well, this is what the Golden Spike. They're going to make the final connection to transportation between Earth and the moon. And then they're also going to go to Mars. And as part of his Mars mission, Elon Musk is getting paid in for and getting more and stuff and whatever by going to the moon. And then you have Bigelow Aerospace is doing space stations. They already got Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, private space stations in orbit. You don't even know about why. Why? Because they don't want to tell you why. Why? Inspiration, next generations, man. The Golden Spike Company invites you to attend a game-changing announcement about the future of commercial human space travel to the moon. Reads the announcement by the media briefing. Executives from the company will describe the team, the mission architecture, and the business model. Wow, they might make money? Okay. Many questions remain about the prospects of such a mission, including its feasibility, rationale, and how the company intends to fund the endeavor, which will likely run to billions of dollars. Early rumors suggested that backers include some guys that didn't turn out to be true, though they have since been shown false. The plan may also include a $120 million deal with SpaceX to provide a heavy rocket to reach the moon. SpaceX has no statement about such a deal when Wired magazine reached them, reached out to them on December 2nd. They're like, nope, not saying anything. Golden Spike is registered in Colorado to planetary scientist and aerospace engineer Alan Stern, who ran NASA's space science directorate from 07 to 08. Stern also worked on the private spaceflight sector that year as an independent research representative for Jeff Bezos of Blue Origin. In a 2011 interview, he said, "I hope that in 10 to 20 years' time, we are on the hills of human return to the moon so that we could then go on with humans to explore the solar system. I think this is our destiny." Now, Peter Diamandis from Singularity University. Peter Diamandis is the guy that did the X Prizes. Well, they created a university. Graduate students come there and they create more X Prizes. They're like, okay, if we're going to do this deep space exploration, there are things that we need that we don't have or better versions of. One of those, medical tricorders. You're going to have health issues and so on up there in space. They're going to need, we don't need a big giant, you know, imagine how much money it costs just to take the equipment of a, you know, operating room or something. Well, okay, how about a couple of scalpels, a robot surgical from doing kind of whatever, and also we have a hologram de la Star Trek something tricorder iPad scan, you think? Okay, well, okay, we're doing a $5 million X Prize, $5 million to do that. Come up with it, get $5 million as an app. So this is, and what do they got? Oh, for your iPhone, they've developed a spectrometer. Let me tell you what that means. That means you get your drink, De La, whatever the heck they said was in it, and you scan, you go, oh, you lying sack of snot. That's not peas and carrots from my little baby. That's peas, carrots, and, you know, mystery element, De La, it's this, and brainwashing fluoride, De La, mercury, adjuvant, what you call it? You know, hey, just because it says on the label don't mean squat. So you got some federal inspector out there. Like, I trust him anyway. Okay. So this is, you know, just a whole different world that's coming and it's totally off the grid. Now, they're holding back and they're going to announce it later this week. Going to the moon privately. How much press is it going to get in the lamestream media, the media that's so last century? How much have they talked about, even they're going to talk about it? You been hearing about this? No. Why? So this is, the government is so last century, man. I mean, just the concept of government, the whole idea. Do you think it's going to be the same 20, 50 years from now, 100 years from now? You know, government's going to start getting down to families. Now, because we have to. If we don't, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. We need to have the ability to, you know, in the hands of one person, a football with a button, of we blow you up in the name of the Jesus to kill all the Muslims and everybody else and the Jews and so on, like Mikey Weinstein from the military. What is it? Military Religious Freedom Foundation.org. Military Religious Freedom. Religious Freedom.org. It's a Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Now, this is, we already see it manifesting. We need to have all this power in the hands of a few or even one individual, you know, because we've got to protect us against them. Did it ever cross your mind that we need to be protected against those that say they're going to do the protecting? I mean, is that becoming obvious? So we need to get ready to take care of ourselves and see the benefit of us just doing it in the lab. I'm going to go out and check my experiment.